I was sitting in my kitchen one day and I stood up and I felt dizzy. And I stood there for 1 second. I think anyone that's been pregnant a few times, like when some tiny little thing in your head and you're like, I think I'm pregnant. Like I shouldn't be pregnant. Like there, this is extremely unlikely. But it was this moment I can remember. I'm actually sitting in the spot where I had that revelation. And I just remember standing there like, let's hope this isn't real. Like, you know, I just can't imagine that this is true, but I'm just gonna push that to the back of my mind.
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where you'll gain the knowledge and confidence you need to erase the unknowns of pregnancy and birth and rock the newborn days like a boss. My name is Liesl Teen. I'm a fellow mom, labor and delivery nurse, and your host. Each week on this podcast, you'll hear a mix of birth stories, expert interviews, and other fun pregnancy and birth-related content. As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Please see mommylabornurse.com/disclaimer for more details. And now let's get into this week's episode. This week on the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, I have a birth story to share with you guys from Bryce Reddy. You guys might follow her on Instagram already. She's got a pretty big page over there at mombrain.therapist. So Bryce is a licensed mental health counselor and mom of three. She started her page, Mom Brain Therapist, as a way of helping bring mental health practices and habits into everyday life so that parents can find more patience, presence, and peace during this season of life. Because it truly is the little things we do every day that make the biggest difference. I had Bryce come on to the podcast today to share the birth of her third surprise baby, a very surprise baby. Bryce struggled with postpartum mental health issues after the births of both of her first two babies, and now pregnant with her third, very unexpected pregnancy, she was quite nervous about her mental health, not only in her postpartum period, but during her pregnancy as well. You'll hear Bryce open up about her struggles, what it was like to navigate this unexpected pregnancy, and her amazing birth story of her third little kiddo. Let's get right into it. Have you guys heard of Bodily? They are a resource for maternal health and beyond, providing research-backed information and design-led products to help women navigate their changing bodies with confidence. Isn't that cool? If you're currently pregnant or have ever given birth, then you know all about those body changes. Bodily's carefully designed evidence-based products are where it's at for the entire journey. They just get it, guys. For example, Bodily's all-in panty was designed to be the ultimate panty for a transitioning body during maternity, postpartum, and beyond. It's super soft and stretchy, high-waisted, which is especially important for not irritating C-section incisions, and is slightly cheeky so you can be covered up but still feel like yourself. And if you're in the second or third trimester, you can take that hospital bag checklist off your to-do list with Bodily's Care for Birth Box, which has several elevated birth recovery, postpartum, and breastfeeding essentials that you didn't know you needed until you really do. Because you're a Mommy Labor Nurse podcast listener, you can take 10% off purchases over $95 with a code MLN10. Shop their complete line of birth recovery, postpartum, and breastfeeding products now at itsbodily.com. That's itsbodily.com. And now let's get right back into this week's episode. Hi, Bryce. Welcome to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. Thanks so much for being here today with me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Liesl. I can't wait.
Yeah. Can you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're from, what you do, how many kids you got, anything you want to share?
You got it. So I'm Bryce Reddy. I am a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm based out of Cape Cod, which is in Massachusetts. And I live there with my three kids. So I have an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 6-month-old, and a elderly yellow lab who's 14, and his name is Sherman. So we all live together.
That is the cutest name, Sherman. Oh my gosh.
Oh, he's the best. He is like the ringleader of this family. I think we all take care of him more than anyone else.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, guys, we are doing a birth story today, right, Bryce? We're going to be talking about some births. And I think, are we just talking about your most recent birth, or did you want to start from your other two? I'll just let you kind of lead, and wherever you want to start, let's start there. Sure. How about that? Yes.
I've had like three totally different births, and it's kind of, you know, a wild thing, right? You know, yeah. that it's just so different every single time you go through it. And I think that's like one of the most amazing things about it for me.
Yeah.
So with my firstborn, I went into labor at 35 weeks. So my water broke at my out-of-town baby shower, actually. And as I was saying goodbye to everyone, it was one of the first times I had actually met my husband's family.
Wow.
And as I was saying goodbye, I felt my water break and I was like, oh my God, like what is even happening? Like, and I'm just the type of person that like didn't say anything. So we get out to the car and I looked at my mom. I was like, I think we have to go to the hospital. I think my water just broke. And she was like, oh my God. Like yeah. she like burst into action. So she took me to the local hospital where we were, which is like probably 2 hours away from where we live. And I ended up delivering there pretty fast. Like I think about 4 hours from when my water broke. And
wow.
we spent some time in the NICU there with him. And it was actually a pretty great experience. The NICU was wonderful. And we all had our own rooms and they were amazing. So that was our first one. And my secondborn was born at 41 weeks. She was an induction. She was an IVF baby. And so they wanted her out at that 41 week mark yeah. for, you know, whatever those reasons are. And then I just had my most recent one. My third born was also an induction, but he was at 31 weeks due to size. Mm-hmm. So, which I know is a controversial topic, but yeah, so he was induced at 39 weeks exactly.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Wow. Very different. And I'm like surprised. You said your first one was at 35 or 36 weeks?
35 weeks. Exactly.
35 weeks. Yeah. And then you went 41 weeks. So how is that difference? Like, because you remember what it was like to be 35 weeks pregnant and now going to 41 weeks, like that's a whole 6 weeks yeah, difference.
It was. Yeah. It was a whole different ball game. You know, it's, there was a lot of anxiety going into that one because it had been a pregnancy after a loss. So I had had a yeah. miscarriage between those two pregnancies and it was an IVF pregnancy. So she was my only embryo that resulted from that round of IVF. So I felt okay. like a lot of pressure on that birth and that yeah. like, you know, making sure she made it to the world because she was what yeah. I thought was going to be my last baby. And I was like kind of having some grief feelings around that and not really sure how I was feeling. And so I had a lot of, I think like stress that whole pregnancy and feeling like getting to that 41 weeks, they did a lot of handholding with me, luckily, and really supported me to kind of stay patient and, you know, get to that finish line with her.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think I would love to dive into your third pregnancy a little bit deeper and your third birth. I know that your third pregnancy, you mentioned it briefly just when you were talking, but your second, it sounded like you thought was going to be your last, but not so much, right?
Right. Yeah. So the universe, one of my biggest lessons with becoming a mother has been this lack of control, right? Like yeah. that we are not yeah. in control. I don't know who is in control, but it's yeah. it's not me.
No.
And, you know, I tried a very long time to have my first, and then I had to use IVF with my second. We had a whole host of issues. We had one embryo, like I had no eggs, no nothing. Like things yeah. were looking like this was it.
Yeah.
And then I had a surprise pregnancy around this time last year. And it was like rocked my world 100%. You know, it was something totally unexpected. I was older. So I was 39 years old when I found out. And I was like, I am not prepared to do this again. Like, you know, we have our two kids. I really felt like I mourned, then grieved that like final baby period. And we had moved on to this new phase. And to find out I was pregnant was startling for all of us. For me and my husband, we're the only people that really knew, of course. Yeah. So it was a lot to sit with. And, you know, I had a lot of like survivor's guilt after having infertility, feeling like, oh my God, how dare I be ungrateful for this? But also this feeling of like, what am I supposed to do? Like, how is this going to work? Is this going to work? You know, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I'm glad that you brought up the survivor's guilt because I think a lot of moms deal with that. And I'd love for you to speak a little bit more to that because I think a lot of moms deal with that when they're going through IVF. And then maybe not only with like, in your instance, you had another surprise pregnancy, but like, they have this sort of guilt because maybe they get pregnant or they, you know, their IVF is successful and then they're pregnant and they like, you know, hate their pregnancy or have these complications or this, that, and the other. And they feel bad because they're like, oh, I wanted to be pregnant for so long, but now I'm pregnant and like, I hate it or
miserable.
It's all these like crazy feelings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think infertility is a tricky thing, especially like the infertility and loss community. There's a huge like identity portion of it, you know, where we really feel, you know, it's years of your life that you have this kind of wrapped up identity in the struggle and like the drive to have a baby. And then when you do get pregnant or have complications, like you said, we can sit with this feeling of like, I tried so hard for this, but I also feel this way that feels really horrible. And I'm struggling mentally, I'm struggling physically.
Yeah.
And it can be a lot to kind of wrap your head around.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, I want to hear how trimester by trimester was for you with this third baby. So tell me, like, after you found out, did you find out right when you were like 4 or 5 weeks pregnant? Or like, when did you find out? And then how was that first trimester?
I was sitting in my kitchen one day and I stood up and I felt dizzy. Mm-hmm. And I stood there for 1 second. I think anyone that's been pregnant a few times, like when some tiny little thing in your head and you're like, I think I'm pregnant. Like I shouldn't be pregnant. This is extremely unlikely. But it was this moment I can remember. I'm actually sitting in the spot where I had that revelation. And I just remember standing there like, let's hope this isn't real. Like, you know, I just can't imagine that this is true, but I'm just gonna push that to the back of my mind. And then I think a few days after that, I had missed my period and I was like, I am 100% pregnant. Like, there is no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I freaked out. I was very upset. I was very nervous to tell my husband, even though he's like super cool hand Luke, like, but I just went out and I told him and he was like, all righty, like, let's figure this out. So, yeah, it was kind of just this real feeling of like shock and feeling kind of like embarrassed, you know, like I'm an adult, like I'm, you know, I know a lot of people have unplanned pregnancies, but I was like, I'm almost 40 years old. Like, and I am having, you know, how did this happen? You know, and here we were.
Yeah, no, totally. Did you have a lot of really bad first trimester symptoms?
Yeah, I was actually sick my entire pregnancy. Oh. I was really sick as it first started. And I'm sure it was probably like exacerbated a little bit by like kind of my anxiety that was happening in my body and my mind. But I was super sick that whole first trimester, the whole pregnancy really, but it was really bad, I would say, that first trimester. I had lost a lot of weight and was just really struggling to, you know, feeling bad that I was kind of, I don't want to say neglecting my kids, but I was not super present for them at all because I was so sick.
Couldn't be.
And they were worried about me. Yeah. So they were all like, what's going on with you? Like, why are you so sick? And why are you feeling like this all the time? And so there was just kind of a whole bunch of complicated feelings that were going on around that time that, you know, made a big difference. So.
Yeah. How did the rest of your family and your community react to your pregnancy, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah. So actually, I didn't tell anyone for a really long time. And I was just struggling so much with feeling so awful physically. I eventually told my sister, I think was the first person I told, and I told a friend. And each time I was like, I'm so embarrassed to say this. And they were like, why are you embarrassed? Like, you know, like, give yourself a break. Like, life happens, it comes at you fast. And, you know, we're all just figuring this out. So they were huge supports and would listen to me over text message and phone calls all the time, like, kind of really just being there and supporting me and saying, just helping me hang in there, you know, like that, just that little words of support at 11 o'clock at night when I was, you know, after the kids had gone to bed and I was sitting with, you know, my own thoughts, they were really, and my husband, you know, all of these people that were there, this core group to really just support me and keep me calm and keep me kind of focused on the task at hand, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. I was just recording another podcast episode yesterday, actually, talking about how much community, like, that is such a great resource. And like, finding other people, no matter what you're struggling with, finding other people who are like kind of going through the same thing or, you know, can support you in that way is like just, I mean, obviously therapy is great and there's other things that can really help, but oh my gosh, like, community is such a powerful tool in my opinion.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be huge. It just needs to be just, you know, a few people who you can text with or chat with or take a walk with, and to just like be there for you and sit, hold space with you, not give you advice, but just like sit with you in the hard stuff. And there's just nothing about it that's perfect.
Yeah, totally. All right, the sound of that baby crying means it's time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. All right, this one says, my husband was a dream support person thanks to your epidural course. He watched the entire course with me and we did a refresher with the bonus partner section the day before I was induced. I blanked on all things having a baby and I'm so thankful he watched the course and remembered ways to help me. I love that. I love encouraging you guys to watch the courses with your partner because, yeah, just as she said, sometimes labor makes you forget things. So it's nice to have someone in the room who has also, you know, been educated about the process and, yeah, can support you. She says, I was a first-time mom, elective post-due induction with no complications. I labored for 12 hours without the epidural, received the epidural at 9 p.m., and baby was born the next morning at 6:48 a.m. after only pushing for 28 minutes. Awesome. Thank you for creating a space to help moms and their partners become more knowledgeable and confident. Oh, love it. If you want to check out the course that this mom took, she took Birth It Up, the epidural series, and you can head over to mommylabornurse.com and click on the epidural series. All right, let's get right back into this week's episode. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. So I do want to ask you kind of how your mental health was throughout this pregnancy. If you felt like it kind of got better, you know, towards the end, or like how it progressed, or you feel like it got worse, or you felt like you were starting to accept the pregnancy, kind of how all of those feelings were.
Yeah. So I definitely went to my doctor and asked for a prescription. I took Zoloft at the beginning of my pregnancy just because my mood was a mess. I was crying all day long. I was anxious and I was just not doing well at all. So I did get on some like medication for that. And, you know, I was really glad to have advocated for myself in that regard. The biggest step for me was helping me with like the physical effects that I was having. So once I got my nausea under control and they could help me with the vomiting, my mental health got much, much better. And I eventually didn't need the Zoloft anymore. And I was able to kind of like wean off of it and, you know, use some other coping skills I had to kind of deal with like the anxiety or whatever that would come up. But really the biggest factor for me was treating kind of the physical side effects that I was having from the pregnancy. And that's when I began to kind of feel a little bit better about things, you know, so I can think more clearly and, you know, function a little bit better and my mental health improved drastically. And then I would say sometime around maybe the middle of the summer. So I was due in November. So I was probably into my second trimester at that point. We were, you know, having moments of being like excited and looking forward to it, you know, mixed in with the kind of like, what are we going to do? This is terrifying type of stuff. So it's, you know, it's a slow process of acceptance and seeing where you're going to go. And I think that's really all you can hope for in a lot of ways. I mean, I think that the expectation is often it's going to be like all blissed out in gratitude, but sometimes it's like a little bit of each, you know, fear, anxiety, and also kind of like excitement and anticipation.
Yeah. All the feelings and all feelings are valid, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For certain.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said it can be a slow process too. Like a lot of people, you know, we kind of live in that society where you expect things to happen really, really fast, but it is okay if you're coming to terms with this in a slow manner, like totally normal, or if it's the opposite and you're like, one day you wake up and you're like, you know what? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
That's right. So I want to really fast forward to kind of the days before you said your induction at 39 weeks, right? So I want to talk about your decisions kind of surrounding that. And then let's talk about your birth.
So I had been seeing a high-risk maternal fetal medicine doctor who had been doing, I think, ultrasounds throughout my pregnancy, but they really ramped up at the end. So he was definitely presenting as much larger than my first two pregnancies. My firstborn was 5 pounds and my secondborn was 7. And he was estimating in the 8+ range sometime around then. So I was getting non-stress tests and I was getting ultrasounds and he was sitting in kind of like a funny way in my belly that was like really awkward and kind of painful and like wasn't moving from there. Mm-hmm. So their hope was the maternal fetal medicine doctor encouraged me, I should say, to advocate for myself for a 39-week induction because she knew I wanted kind of a vaginal birth. I wanted a natural birth like I had had with my prior two children.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I advocated for myself and they did agree to it. You know, I think there was like my age was a factor that they agreed to it for and his size and all sorts of things. And so we went for it. So we picked a date and we had it all lined up. And, you know, I was still having those kind of highs and lows, I guess, in terms of like my expectations for how this was all going to go. But I had given birth before, you know, like that part I wasn't so worried about. It was more of kind of the days after giving birth that it was kind of on my mind.
Were you concerned about bonding beforehand?
I was. Yeah. I mean, I was so like, this sounds terrible. I was a little like ambivalent about the whole thing. Like I was kind of like with my daughter, you know, my middle born who was an IVF baby, I was very like, I want this girl here. Like she is mine. Like I can't wait to meet her. And with this pregnancy, I was kind of like, we'll see who shows up. Like I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. Like I didn't know anything. And I had really kind of like detached emotionally, I think, from the outcome of this pregnancy. And so I was like sort of excited. My kids were super excited. So that helped. And yeah, so I think going into it, I was a little worried about what was going to happen when I met him for the first time.
Him, you said him. So you had a boy.
A boy, yes. I did have a boy. So yes, yeah. I was open to the idea of him by the time I came to the end of my pregnancy. So
Gotcha. Well, okay. So 39-week inductions. We've had some birth stories before about how those go. Typically, you come in the morning and they get you set up and you know, get some Pitocin. And you're saying that you've had some fast labors before. So was it pretty quick?
So yeah, so I got to the hospital, we checked in. My firstborn was 4 hours and my daughter was born very quickly. I think like once I started having contractions, she was born in like an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
So like a precipitous labor, like she just came right out.
Yeah.
So we were kind of anticipating the same. And I had told them that when I showed up, I said, and that was also part of the agreement to the induction as well, because we were like an hour from the hospital.
Yeah.
So we showed up, I had my Pitocin. I had my COVID test and, you know, where things are moving along with the Pitocin, I'm in the room and all of a sudden a group of providers walks into the room and looks at me and they said, we have bad news. And I was like, what's going on? You know? And she's like, you're COVID positive.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh, well, I don't know how that's possible. My husband wasn't even there. He had run down to the cafe. And so I texted him like, you need to come back. Like this
now.
Immediately things have like just taken like a crazy turn. And so they were like, we're going to unplug you from the Pitocin and we're going to go and see, you know, what the protocol is. They're like, this hasn't really happened. We're just not really sure. So they hadn't had too much experience, I think like once or twice. And this was back in November. So like things were kind of changing. Like,
okay,
people were back, you know, like,
yeah.
Hospital regulations, I think, were shifting and becoming a little bit more lenient and they were figuring things out. So I had been having contractions, I think about 4 minutes apart. So like things were moving along and then they took me off. And after some back and forth, we were kind of given the choice to have my husband leave and for me to stay by myself. They were kind of pushing me to leave and then come back when I was COVID negative. And I was like, well, I don't know when that's going to be. And my you know, contractions are 4 minutes apart. So in the end, I opted to stay by myself. My husband went home to be with our two other children.
Wow.
Because at this point we didn't know who was positive because I had no symptoms. I had nothing. And my parents are older and they were, you know, we didn't want my kids getting my parents sick. So it was kind of this just like real fast judgment call. And so in the end, it was a bit of a whirlwind. My husband went home, which he was, you know, okay with. I had like my moment, like I cried for a second. And then I was like, you go, you do what you got to do. I'm going to do what I've got to do. We'll take care of this. So he left. And they moved me into a COVID isolation room to give birth and hooked me back up to Pitocin. And that's kind of where we started our next, you know, step of the process, I guess.
Yeah, that is crazy. Wow. And I'm sure so many feelings around that huge shift that you were not expecting at all.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was kind of a moment to like accept it. But, you know, I think, again, calling back to that community aspect, I had like my friends on text message. I had like my mom, I had my sister, I had my husband, everyone texting me like, you can do this. You've done this before. Like, and I believed that, you know, I knew I could do that. And I knew that this was a moment, like I had no control over my circumstances. All I could do was like put my music on that I wanted to listen to.
And labor.
And get in the zone, you know, like, and just do my thing. So that I knew I could do.
That's a really positive way to look at it. I'm very impressed with that outlook. So once you got in that room and they hooked up the Pitocin, you said you've gone fast before. How long was it until it really started?
It was a long time, actually. Oh. So I think my husband left around maybe 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I was hooked up to Pitocin with very little effect after they had unplugged me for almost 2 hours because they had to get on and then move me. And then, you know, so labor definitely stalled out. You know, nothing was happening. I was now in the isolation room. So only people had to come in like in full gowns and like it was the double door situation. So I had one nurse assigned exclusively to me, like through the shifts, and they were all so unbelievably, absolutely amazing, wonderful humans. And I ended up getting a epidural around 2:22 in the morning. And I asked them for it because I knew like things were starting to ramp up. I was like, I need to be able to make decisions because they were talking about potentially needing a C-section if, you know, if he was not moving because he was having some heart rate decels.
Okay.
And I was like, I need to be clear-headed to advocate for myself and to make choices. Yeah. So I got an epidural placed at 2:22 and then he was born. This sounds terrible. I was trying to remember what time it was, but I think it was like 7:55 in the morning. So it was right after the shift change, actually. So he was born a few hours later and after we had a shoulder dystocia birth. So there was like added excitement with that. But otherwise, we did okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. A COVID positive, and then you got an epidural, and then you had a shoulder dystocia. Now, how much did he weigh?
8 pounds, 13 ounces. And so that was, and he was weighed like an hour after birth. So he came out, he had the cord around his neck and they took, so a whole team kind of came in and took care of him. And they kind of told me the basics. And then finally the midwife was like, Bryce doesn't know what she had. Like, can someone tell her if it's a boy or a girl? And this whole group of people screamed out, it's a boy.
And
so it was so sweet. Oh, you're going to make me cry, Liesl. So yeah, it was like just such an amazing thing.
How did you feel like now kind of, was it like the culmination of like this crazy surprise pregnancy?
Yeah.
Did you feel that immediate bond or did it take a while?
Oh no, it was immediate. As you can tell, as I like burst into tears. So it was immediate. The second I got to meet him, you know, the doctor came over and they were like, your baby is blue. Like he was very bruised. So he looked not so great, but the doctor from Boston Children's Hospital was just this wonderful person. And he was like, your baby is blue. He's like, but he's beautiful and he won't stay blue. Okay. So yeah. So he got put up to me and I was like, you are just like, you were meant to be here and I love you. And it was like, instant connection. So, which hadn't happened, I would say, with my other kids. So it was an interesting little surprise, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is so crazy. Yeah. So I want to spend just a few minutes before we wrap up on how postpartum was for you.
Yeah. So I spent 6 days in the hospital with him. We had our own little individual vacation.
Yeah. Oh, because the COVID.
Because of the COVID, he tested positive at 24 hours old. So their fear was that they were going to send me home with him. And then if he had to go back to the hospital, I wouldn't be able to come. So because I was COVID positive as well. So they kept us in the hospital together for 6 days, which, you know, everyone kept like apologizing to me. And I'm like, you know what? Like, he's my third baby. Like, he is like, when else is he going to get to spend 6 days by himself with
just
me?
Just mom, right? You
know? Exactly. So we FaceTimed a lot with my older kids and we, you know, just hung out and we were so well taken care of. And I had these wonderful, you know, nurses that were coming in, you know, throughout their shift. Cause I had one nurse to me, of course, because nobody else wanted to come in.
Yeah.
So, you know, people apologize to me all the time for being alone, but I never, ever felt alone. You know, I always felt so like loved and cared for, even though these people I just met or maybe only knew for their shift that they were on with me. But they really, they would come in, they would hold my baby so I could sleep. They would like set him all up in his little cot and like swaddle him for me and sneak me ice and, you know, get on me all my food and everything I needed. So there kind of was this expectation from people like, oh, like you've had postpartum depression in the past, like kind of this expecting the other shoe to drop from this somewhat traumatic experience.
Yeah.
But it never did. You know, it's been like an absolutely wonderful, blissful experience, which I can't say for, I don't think any of my other kids, because they were, you know, like I had other stuff going on at that time, but he has just been like, he came, he eats, he sleeps. He's, my mental health has been great. And it's like, we literally all sit around and talk about how much we love him and how cute he is all day long. I'm like, this kid's going to go out into the world and be like, where's all my praise, people? So, but it's been a wonderful postpartum. And I feel like it's been a great way to kind of end this family building aspect of part of my life, you know, that it really ended on this like ultra high note that had all this highs and lows, roller coaster. And it's been a great kind of lesson for me of kind of accepting what the world has to offer me.
Isn't it crazy?
Know, accepting life as it comes and trusting that things will work out one way or another.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's amazing. Well, Bryce, can you let our listeners know where they can find you? Because I know you're on social media like I am, correct?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram. I am mombrain.therapist. And that's it. That's where you find me.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me today. This was just, I'm so glad that you were able to tell your story.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I knew you were going to make me cry, Liesl. And, and you did. So I appreciate that. It was always fun to tell it, though.
Yes.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and letting me be a part of your motherhood journey. It is truly an honor. If you like what you heard, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And I love hearing what you guys think of the podcast. So if you're liking what you hear or you have a suggestion, I'd be so grateful if you'd go ahead and leave me a review wherever you're listening to help more mamas just like you find the show. What do you think? Are you starting to feel a little more confident about your pregnancy and birth? Well, if you want more, be sure to head on over to mommylabornurse.com/podcast for today's show notes and a library of episodes so you can keep getting educated before your upcoming birth. And while you're over there, be sure to check out the blog and learn about our online birth classes. Find it all and more over at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. See you next week. Same time, same place.